Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
I'm on the line and we'll have Rodney Rajkumar, director of the Institute of Education Technology and president of the Homeschooling Association. Rodney, all right, Mr. Rajkumar is the director of the Institute of Education Technology at the University of the Southern. His areas of focus include community development through informatics, educational technology, and leadership dynamics. Okay, he's, experienced in this area. Rodney, of course, and his wife, they've been married for 19 and a half years. Her name, of course, is Fiona Rajkumar, and they have been homeschooling their two daughters, Ashaka, who is 14 years old, and Alina, who is 10 years old, for the past 12 years. Rodney is currently the president of the Homeschool Association of Trinidad and Tobago, while Fiona is the corporate secretary, serves as the association's events committee, and manages her social media platforms. Right, so on the line on Zoom right now, we should have both Rodney and Fiona. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, miss.
Yes,
good afternoon. Hi, good afternoon, miss.
Nice, beautiful, nice have you here. Okay, beautiful. So, homeschooling, we had this topic about homeschooling. People were very, very much interested. And, of course, you, of course, homeschool your children. Were you homeschooling your children before you decided to be the president of the association, or you just decided while you were homeschooling there's no association for this? Let's decide what's going on. How did that come about? You actually being the president of the Homeschooling Association. How did that form? Or was it already formed?
Yeah, so as I was saying, we decided to homeschool before we had children.
Okay.
My wife and I had friends who were involved in homeschooling, and you know, we were intrigued, and we thought that this would be a good way to pass across our value systems and so on to our children. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I had been a secondary school teacher for 10 years or so.
Right.
My wife also a secondary school teacher for a number of years, and then she moved into the university environment. And then I also had switched to the tertiary environment, and I was actually training teachers and so on who would go into the secondary and the primary school system. So therefore, I knew the system that we operated in Trinidad and Tobago in relation to education.
Okay.
And I thought that homeschooling provided us with a better opportunity to pass across those value systems and a better opportunity to teach our children in the way that we believe that they should have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to homeschool meetings and so on, even before we had children,
right,
just to see what it was like and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, when we had our first daughter, because we have two daughters, when we had our first daughter, even while she was a baby, we took her into the homeschooling environment, meeting with other parents and so on. And there were parents, as I said, who were homeschooling, and Sean and Bernadette Francis. Now, Sean Francis was our first president. I'm actually the second president.
Okay.
I was the vice president at that time. So it's some years ago, approximately 8 years or so, I believe, 10 years now, as my wife is reminding me. We decided we wanted to come together to form an association to promote the cause of homeschoolers and also to lobby in the government halls for policies and so on that would help the homeschooling movement. So we thought that we would have a better voice if we were united, and therefore we embarked on a program to form the Homeschool Association of Trinidad and Tobago. And Mr. Francis, as I said, became the first president, and I became the vice president.
Nice.
And just before COVID, I became the president while Mr. Francis went on to some other endeavors.
Right, beautiful. So, I mean, you being a teacher and in the system, it is very interesting. You would think that being a teacher, you will be reassured that, you know, you want to have your children and your children will go to this school and that school. But what was it about our educational system, you being in a system that, I wouldn't say turned you away from regular schooling, but made you want to lean more to homeschooling from your own children? for your own children?
Well, I probably would let Fiona answer that.
Yeah.
Because you know, so she would have similar insights to me, and then of course she would have some of her own insights, Fiona.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So in terms of our decision to homeschool, mm-hmm. There were a number of factors that influenced that. And as you said, we were both teachers, right?
Yeah.
One factor would be the fact that, you know, sometimes in our system, there is a bit of a hierarchy of subject areas. And even though persons may not want to say that, sometimes we promote some areas over the other. And so I actually lecture history, and I taught areas. I find that sometimes those areas are not as promoted as maybe the sciences or computer or business.
Yeah.
And in my experience, I have found that those very areas are critical to the development of children and young people. The ability to read and to comprehend and to analyze and to appreciate literature, to understand our historical background, to understand our, you know, ethnic complexity. Those kinds of things were very important to me. And I felt as though I didn't necessarily want our children in a system that didn't value those areas, right? And so I felt as though I wanted to be able to teach our children to love reading and to love literature and to understand the value of history in the context of Trinidad and Tobago and the wider Caribbean and, you know, on the global scale as well. So those subject areas have been incorporated very meaningfully into what we do. And also we have a philosophy of education that is more holistic in nature. So children, humans, are made up of, you know, many dimensions. We're multidimensional. And sometimes the school system tends to focus only on the academic. But we wanted to not just focus on the academic, but we wanted to be able to focus on health and health and physical fitness,
yeah.
Emotional development and intelligence, their spiritual foundations, their social interactions. And we wanted all of those things to be sort of equally incorporated into our education philosophy and, by extent, the teaching and learning experience that would be part of our homeschool. So those are just a couple areas mm-hmm. that are for me that yeah. shaped why we leaned more towards homeschool mm-hmm. As opposed to the private or public school system.
Right. Yeah.
And may I just add as well that I wanted our children to become world changers, mm-hmm. not just high achievers or successful in a profession, but actually change the society in which they live.
Yeah.
And what I found is that our school system, our institutions, really promote competition among children. So for example, at the secondary school level, you would rank, you know, the top 100 SCA students and so on. And in the secondary school system, we were breeding competition. We were teaching children to compete against one another. And then after, when they become adults, we expect them to cooperate for the, you know, for the betterment of society.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I think, you know, that was kind of contradictory, because if we really want society to be better, we need to learn to cooperate and come together. And, you know, and you have piece of the solution, somebody else has piece of the solution. And when we come together, we all have the solution together, mm-hmm. not as single entities. And I think our education system was really putting people in silos. Right. So you specialize in this area, next one specialize in this area. Everybody are experts, but they are not collaborating with one another uh-huh. to solve society's problems. And I wanted my children to be critical thinkers, to think multidisciplinary.
Right.
Right. Understood. Not just because you are an accountant doesn't mean that you don't have an input in social work or social aspects of society and so on. Uh-huh. So I want them to think multidisciplinary and therefore improve their critical thinking and be able to come up with solutions to the problems in society. But when they come up with those solutions, to cooperate with other people to incorporate their ideas so that we will all work together for a better Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean and, by extension, the world.
Well, that song's beautiful. I like that holistic approach. But some would say, I mean, you have the children home in homeschooling an environment where they're home. But I mean, you grew up in homeschooling, that depends on, of course, what age. I don't know if this goes all the way till probably they go to university. But if they do go into the workplace, unless the goal is to have their own business, I mean, how do they learn to socialize. Some people may say they're missing out the socializing with other children. Some people they say they would not know how to deal with difficult people if they do go into a working environment. You mentioned the present system, teachers want to be competitive. I mean, life is competitive. The world is competitive out there. No matter what they do, depends on what job spectrum and you would have to compete. So how do you prepare your children to be a part of that if it's only homeschooling and they're so in this environment where this sort of safe house kind of thing?
All right. So I will start answering and then I know Fiona would make an input as well. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because when I mentioned competition at the primary school level and so on, and even at the secondary school level, I'm talking about unhealthy competition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is a point where competition becomes unhealthy. Competition drives, as some would argue, quality. So when there's competition, there's better quality because people have to realize they need to put their best foot forward. And I agree with that. However, there's a stage that competition becomes unhealthy to our society. As you can see played out in our nation in a very real way, I believe it was last year, when somebody thought that they should have gotten the medal and the other person thought, well, no, I should have gotten it, and then they took it to court, it became ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a stage where competition becomes unhealthy. So we do help our children to be in what we call the real world. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is we all engage in selective types of education for our children. So, for example, people who send their children to what they call a prestige school. So we have, you know, some of the denominational schools, the Presbyterian schools, the Roman Catholic schools, Anglicans, etc. That's a sense of selective socialization because they choose to send their children to this school rather than another school because they find there's violence and whatever school. So we all engage in it to some extent. From our perspective as well, our children are engaged in a number of activities. So for example, my older daughter was in gymnastics and swimming.
Mm.
And she's also in music currently.
Okay.
And she does courses online where she interacts with people from all over the world, all different nationalities and so on. In fact, my daughter was given an award by her swimming club for being that person who exhibits the spirit of the club and for camaraderie and so on, because she was such a child that brought everybody together. So she was able to deal with her friends from other schools and so on. And it's really a myth that homeschooling children don't interact and they are socially inept and all of these things. In fact, my daughter has many more friends than I had when I was in the formal school system. I had one friend. I always tell my wife about my one friend. His name was Nigel. And that one friend was with me throughout primary school. My daughter can count five, six friends, close friends, that is, and then she can count other friends that she would have that may not be as close. So my children have more friends than I ever had. And what we must also understand when we are speaking about socialization, you have to understand there are two kinds of relationships. We have the horizontal relationships, right? Meaning that I have relationships with children of my same of the same age group and so on. So that's called horizontal relationships or horizontal socialization. And homeschool children have that, in abundance. Right, because in addition to that, we also meet on Friday. We have different homeschool support groups, which Fiona will talk about, that we meet and they interact with children in different homes, and we have play dates and all of these things. But you also have what you call vertical socialization. So homeschool children are also they interact with authority figures. So we take them to, let's say, the fire station. We actually took them on a Coast Guard vessel, so they interacted with people who were older than them and in authority. We took them to the central bank, so they got to interact with people from that. Then their aunts and their uncles and all these things, because all of these persons sometimes are involved in the homeschooling process. So not only do they get to socialize with peers, but they also get to socialize across the board. So they have that respect for society and the structure of society and so on. So they get that whole all-rounded experience in terms of relationships. I don't know if Fiona wants to add to what I said.
Right. So just to add a little bit to what Rodney would have said, that is like one of the most popular questions that parents who homeschool get, right?
Yeah.
Because it is the idea that, I guess, when you homeschool your child, you just sort of keep them in.
You feel like they're in a bubble like that. They grew up in a bubble.
Yeah, grew up in a bubble, yes. Right? So, I mean, you would find that generally homeschooling children, yes, would be in maybe a more peaceful, nurturing, safe environment than if they were just in a public school. But you also find that, you know, for some parents who would have experienced extreme bullying for their children and stuff, they felt the need to be able to create an environment where their children could feel safe while they're being educated. And from that environment, allow them to interact with the outside world. And so as Rodney was rightly saying, as homeschooling parents, many of us know that we are responsible for the socialization of our children. And that sometimes would mean having them in different activities, whether it is sporting activities or musical activities to develop their talents, going to camps, to be able to develop them socially in different ways. But that is also one of the mandates of the Homeschool Association, right? The Homeschool Association has one of its purposes, the creation of recreational and socialization opportunities for homeschooling families, both adults and children. And that's something that we take very seriously. And especially during COVID, well, just before COVID, we went on the creation of specific socialization groups across the country for parents to become members of, who had members. And so if they also wanted to have a homeschooling community for their children and their families to belong to, they could have that as well. So aside from, you know, having your child in a swim club or music club or you know, go to camps, if you also wanted your children to be around similar children who were homeschooled, who share similar experience to you, HATS would offer that. Because then you could, you know, you could talk about what are some of your similar experiences as homeschooling children or challenges as homeschooling children, and you could feel that sense of belonging, you know. And so that has been our theme for a little while now, Stronger Together. And so that's one of the things that HATS does. It provides socialization opportunities for homeschooling children. And as he said as well, you know, the groups, we spend time just taking them on different outings and activities, and we cook together, we lime together. And so as more and more families homeschool, we would like them to know that that is the purpose of the association, and it's easy to get in contact with us if that is something that they would want to belong to.
All right. So a lot of people may say, well, because you guys are both teachers, you know, it may be a little bit easier for you to homeschool their children. A lot of people may not have the level of education that you may have. What I mean, I remember trying to help my godson do some SCA work the other day, boy, and I ain't gonna lie, but I got a headache, right? But what about people who may not have a degree or that level of education? Is there homeschooling classes you could go to? I know they said that the community, but where is the help comes from parents who may want to homeschool their children, but are really afraid about the curriculum, how challenging the curriculum may be?
Right. Okay, great. So that's a multi-pronged question. So in terms of education levels and homeschooling, you don't have to have a degree or a degree in education to homeschool, because one of the things that we do is that we attempt to expose parents to homeschooling curriculum. So there are numerous curricula geared towards assisting parents who would like to work with their children coming out of the US, the UK, Canada, and there are a number of support systems from these countries that have been homeschooling for much longer time than Trinidad and Tobago or Caribbean islands. And so we have done quite a bit of research and experimentation. And when I say we, I would talk about, you know, first families who have been homeschooling for years. And so one of the things the association would have done is that we would have sort of accumulated that knowledge in terms of different curricula, philosophies and approaches to teaching and learning, to education, and which curricula would imbibe these philosophies, and to assist parents to help them to understand, well, then what are your goals? What do you think your philosophies of education are? And then to help them to understand the various curricula and what they could choose to help them to teach their children. And many of these curricula, a lot of the work is already done. So the curricula is created, you have parent-teacher manuals, you have student workbooks, you have assessments, you have the answer keys. And so once you have completed secondary school and you have a good sense of literacy, your comprehension skills are, you know, average, and you're willing to be committed, you can take these curricula and you can use them to work with your children. You could also use the Ministry of Education's curriculum, which is available online to work with your children. And we guide you in terms of some of the textbooks that can help you to be able to follow the Ministry of Education's curriculum if you want to go in that direction. To answer your question, where training is concerned, one of the mandates of the association enshrined in our constitution has always been training. And as the association has gotten larger and more people have come on board and we're able to do more, we actually are going through a period of parents training right now. We started in February and we are on our third cycle of working with parents, giving them information on what is homeschooling, how their philosophy of education, what are some of the different approaches of the curricula available out there, how you can go about choosing a curriculum, how you can even work with special needs children at home. And so our training is it's a month long. There are 8 sessions and we take them through information on homeschooling to begin to empower them to be able to work with their children. And so it is a journey. Homeschooling is a journey. You don't start off as an expert. The wonderful thing about this journey, however, is that as you do it and as you work with your child, you are able to, you know, observe your child and to customize an education plan that can develop the gifts and the talents that your child has.
Great. Of course, we're talking, for those of you who just joined us, we're talking to Rodney and Fiona and Rajkumar, husband and wife, who are, you know, heads of the Homeschooling Association of Trinidad and Tobago, and of course they themselves homeschool their children. We will be taking some calls at 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course WhatsApp messages at 306-1065 if you have any questions at all about homeschooling. Of course, homeschooling in Trinidad and Tobago, I mean, how long has this been going on? It is legal. Well, of course it will be legal in Trinidad and Tobago, but how long was this like a thing in Trinidad and Tobago? How many years?
A thing, I like that. What I can say is that the association is 10 years old, right? Mm. So the association is a decade, celebrating a decade now from when Rodney said we joined that first homeschool group that was headed by Bernadette Francis, and the vision came out of her that we should have something, some association that, you know, could protect and lobby for parents. And so 10 years ago, that group of families became the founding families who did what was necessary to start this NGO, right? Prior to that, there were always families that homeschooled in Trinidad and Tobago, before 10 years ago, but it was not very popular, right? And so even when, for those of us who were doing it 10 years ago, it still wasn't very popular. But I think with COVID, and many parents having to work with their children at home and probably seeing some of the challenges that their children had, you found that over that 2.5 years, the interest levels in homeschooling sort of skyrocketed. And so we became sort of inundated with requests to know more about homeschooling, to get information on homeschooling, guidance on homeschooling. And so over the past, I would say, 3.5 years in particular, you found that more and more people wanted to go into homeschooling. But I mean, there have always been homeschooling families in Trinidad and Tobago. We know, you know, families who have children. 20 years ago, they were being homeschooled, but it would not have been a thing 20 years ago, right? Yeah. 10 years ago, it started to become more popular, mm-hmm. But COVID did something to skyrocket the interest in homeschooling and parents working with their children.
Yeah, and I would imagine, yeah. Well, during COVID, I mean, it's getting more popular while, you know, the kids were home. I believe it would have sparked a lot of interest in parents, especially, you know, seeing that, well, the kids are home. Let's say we have housewives and stuff, and they would have been hands-on. And when we really think of it, it's not really such of a strange thing, because if you really want your child to be successful, even though your child is going to school, you know, when the child comes home, you know, if you're really interested in this child's development, you would do some sort of, with the child's homework, go through some of the things, whether it's evenings and weekends, but this is just a more hands-on approach. Yeah?
Yeah, and I also want to add as well, mm-hmm. For most of human history, people have been taught in the home.
Right.
The whole idea of mass education, which we now call schools or institutions, is really about 300 years or so, I believe, old. right? Mm-hmm. So, but for most of human history, people have been schooled in the home. It's just that when governments took over and so on, and you had this mass education, then we actually had this being farmed out to the secondary school system, as we call it, or the institutions. But so really and truly, this is really more of a kind of rediscovery of what was there before, at least in the Trinidad and Tobago experience. But you see, many of us were born, we are not 300 years old, right? So therefore, this is the only system that we know, like you send your child to an institution. But if you check the history, you would realize that, you know, it's something that is purely legitimate.
In terms of the success rate, I have a gentleman who messaged me. His name is Kevin Bagalo. He's an attorney, and he said he was interested in joining the show as two of his secondary school teachers would be discussing homeschooling.
We know Kevin.
You remember Kevin? Yeah, man.
Yes, very well.
All right. So in terms of the success rates, we're doing in terms of the homeschooling success rates, how successful are students doing homeschooling with SEA? And of course, especially CXC. Does it just stop at SEA, CXC? Does it go to A levels? You know, I don't anybody homeschooling anybody to get a bachelor's, a master's, you know? I don't know.
Right. So, again, I would just lay a groundwork again, and Fiona might add some to some of this, yeah. Right? Now, we're speaking about Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'll get to that. But the whole idea is, if you look at a lot of the literature in terms of research and education in relation to homeschooling is, you know, it comes from the United States, right? Now, if you look at the literature there, what they have found is that what they call Ivy League universities or the top universities across in the U.S., they love homeschoolers to apply to come to their universities because they found that they are very high achievers and they are also independent learners, right? So the universities abroad are very much interested in homeschoolers becoming part of their programs. So the statistics coming out there really shows that homeschoolers are very successful. And part of that is the parent involvement in teaching their children, so children become more motivated and so on, because the parent is actually there working along with the child. And locally as well, we have had, a number of success stories, and I guess Fiona will get into some of that more as well. But recently though, our daughter, just on the home front, our daughter, our younger daughter, Alina, I believe last year, she won a national prize, right? She was in an essay competition, and it was done through all the primary schools in the country and so on. And it was hosted by UEWI, and she came first in her category. So I had to take her to the prize-giving function and so on.
All right,
and people were surprised, you know, this is a homeschool child, and here she is, she's first in her category in the country. All right, so that's just one example. But I guess, you know, Fiona could probably elaborate a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of success, one of the things we take into consideration is that success would look different ways for different people and for different homeschooling families, right? So ultimately, for many families, success would mean that, you know, at the end of the homeschooling journey, you would have children who are well-adjusted adults who are able to take care of themselves. And as I said, you know, they have this sense of holistic development, so their children are academically sound. They can, you know, cook, clean, wash, take care of themselves physically, right? Emotionally stable. So ultimately, if you talk to some parents, you'll find that you know, they won't just talk about academics. They will talk about, you know, all-round success. But if we want to talk about academics, because I know that sometimes that's what people care about, there are different routes that parents take. So there are some parents who homeschool their children to prepare them for SEA. And so where those examples are concerned, because, I mean, SEA is a secondary school placement exam. And so there are parents who, you know, for the primary school level would want to homeschool, and then they would want their children to get a place in a public secondary school. And so they would do SEA, and they can do that as a private candidate. And for those parents who have done that, you found that they have been quite successful, right? Many children would have gotten their first choices, their second choices, and they would have gone on to secondary school. Then you have parents who would opt to send their children to private secondary school. So what they would do is they would contact the private school and the children would do the assessment exams for those secondary schools, and then they would go into secondary school. And in secondary school, of course, they would go through forms 1 to 5 and then write CSEC exams, right? And so we've also found that children who have gone that route have done quite well. They've gotten their full their certificate in terms of their CSEC certificates. And then some of them have gone on to tertiary level education based on the areas that they enjoy or skills that they want to develop. And so they've gone on. Many of them have gone on to, you know, they've had a vision to go to something like a university or to become an entrepreneur or just to, you know, knowing their areas of strengths, wanting to pursue those more. And then you have children who their parents choose to homeschool throughout secondary school. And so they don't do SEA. They continue the homeschooling journey, which is what our family is doing. And then they write CSEC again as a private candidate. And so you can do this, you know, either doing all of your subjects at the same time, or you can break it down to make it maybe load more manageable for the child, right? And so for those children who have also done CSEC after being homeschooled, you found that they've also done quite well, right? And have either gone on to do CAPE or have gone on to go to university or have gone on to work, right? So in terms of the performance that we've seen so far, because I mean, those children that we would have known 10 years ago who were like 3 and 4 and who now are like 17, 18, 19, they would have gone through CSEC and or are in CAPE right now or are in university. And those who you know, us as the HAT leadership, have had the direct privilege of, you know, being part of their lives, they have done, you know, they're doing quite well, not just in terms of their academics, but the way they have adjusted to their different environments, you know, whether it is school or whether it is university, and the contributions they're able to make and, you know, the way that people respond to them. It has been really encouraging to look at. And so for those of us who are still on that journey, because as Rodney said, you know, we have a 14 going on 15 year old, so she is being exposed to being prepared for CSEC, and then we have a 10 year old who is ready to go to university. She wish she could just skip over secondary school. It's encouraging to look at how parental involvement, as you've rightly said, how parental involvement can really motivate and impact children to do well and to achieve.
Yeah. And I'll just like to add, you know, just as an end of story to your question, I recall there was a time I was the acting chair of computer science department. And there was a student who came in who was homeschooled. So this person never went, you know, to secondary school and so on. And I had to evaluate this person's application to enter into the computer science degree. And as part of evaluating where this homeschool student was, he was called in to write a computer program. And this guy did very well. And the child's parent was actually a senior Ministry of Education official. Imagine that. So we evaluated this person. This person was allowed into the program. Person did very well after the first degree. I was told that he got a scholarship to go to England. He did a master's across there. And then he came back talking about his experience. And he's a motivational speaker now to other young people going to different parts of the country.
All right, man. Great, yeah? great. Sounds good. Sounds really good. We're talking about homeschooling, folks. Once again, we're talking to Rodney and Fiona and Rajkumar. We're talking about homeschooling. Folks, I remember when Samantha John was here, she sparked up that she homeschools her kids. So both of you all no longer are in the teaching profession after teaching if you're homeschooling your kids, are you still allowed to work? How does a working parent, let's say a single parent who wants to homeschool, how is that possible? Unless they themselves are working from home, how do you do that? How do you switch it up and share the responsibility?
Well, both of us actually work. As Fiona would have said, I'm the director of the Institute of Educational Technology at the University of the Southern Caribbean. So what that means is that I am responsible for helping USC to put their courses online. So I'm responsible for all online and what we call blended courses, which is a mixture of online and face-to-face. So, you know, we would make sure the learning management system is up and running and people can, you know, can work the technology. And currently I'm responsible for faculty training. So I train all new university lecturers on how to teach face-to-face as well as fully online. And as Fiona said, she is a professor of history at the University of the Southern Caribbean as well. So what we have done is that we have spoken to our supervisors, our employers, and said to them, listen, we homeschool. And as part of national service, this is what we do. We homeschool, but we are also involved in nation building, because we really care about Trinidad and Tobago. So we see homeschooling and helping other parents to know how to homeschool their children and so on as nation building. We also believe that this also helps with things like crime and so on. These are, you know, if children don't have a proper home foundation and so on, this is these are antecedents, as you would call it, to criminal activity. So we see it as nation building. And this is in line with our university ethos, and our university wants to be able to connect with the community for the good of the community. So we have negotiated with our university so that there are times that, you know, I would be in the office, right? And then my wife would, she would do some things at home and then bring them to the office, and they will sit with me and so on. And they will be with her in the office. So, you know, we juggle it because we both work. However, many persons, it's different. Sometimes the husband works, and in a number of cases, the husband would work and the wife would take on the brunt of the homeschooling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So as Redding said, yes, it's according to, you know, what, before I say that, what I would say is that one of the things we encourage parents to do is to think about exactly this, right? This is part of what you have to think about if you desire to homeschool. How am I going to do it? Okay, because homeschooling is a commitment. It takes a time commitment as well. It takes a sacrifice on the part of the parents. And so I don't want people to think, of, wow, you know, we're making it sound all so easy peasy. It takes work, hard work, sacrifice, and commitment on the part of the parents, right? And so it helps to have some kind of support system. And you have to think about, well, where will the time come from? Do I actually have the time? So, for instance, if both parents are in jobs where they must work from 8 to 4, 8 to 5, and they have to get the traffic to and from, then they are not, you know, practically they may not be able to homeschool because they just don't have that time to be able to do it. So not every single family is able to homeschool because it will not fit what every family is able to accomplish. And so oftentimes parents have to think, is this something we really want to do? And then they have to put things in place to be able to do it. And so we've met families who, you know, they would have been two income families and they wanted to homeschool. They would have spent some time, a year or two, thinking about, do we have to become a one income family, or can we both become flexible, or what would this look like for us? How are we going to homeschool? How are we going to manage financially? And they would put things in place in a year or two to be able to homeschool their children, if it's for throughout primary school for a period of time, because this is something that they want to do. It's not something that they do lightly. They do it, they go into this, the decision, understanding that they would have to make changes to their schedule if they want to be involved in the education of their children, which is different from if you choose to have a tutor, right? That is not homeschooling. We don't see it as homeschooling because homeschooling is the direct involvement in the education process of the children by parents, right? You can have people to assist you, but if you absolutely don't have the time and it's a tutor doing the teaching, or the child is completely in an online school and there's absolutely no oversight by the parents, then that is a different type of education. But where homeschooling is concerned, and if parents want to be involved in the teaching and learning process, then they do have to put some things in place to allow them to have that flexibility to be involved in that process, right? Mm-hmm. And so far, as Rodney said, it meant we had to make certain kinds of changes. And so for me, I chose to work at the University of the Southern Caribbean. I chose to be trained to teach online. And as he said, we would have been in contact with all our supervisors in terms of what we do, so they know that we work with our children. So it's not strange to them. when we bring the children on campus. I mean, these children have grown up at USC. We were talking about that the other day, right? And they participate in events. And so we, you know, we use life as teaching as well for them. And so there are blocks of time that I have that I spend with them. I don't have early morning classes. So the morning periods are often dedicated to working with them. And my afternoons would be when I teach, and I also teach online classes as well. You know, so it's flexible. It's not impossible for even for single parents to homeschool, but you need to have a support system. You cannot homeschool on your own, whether you're a single parent or a regular family. You do need support systems because sometimes you need a break. Sometimes things would come up. Sometimes work would be more hectic and you need assistance. So these are some of the things we encourage parents to think through when they think about homeschooling. These are some of what we call the realities of homeschooling. It may not always be a fit for everyone, or you may go through different stages in life, and there are stages, you know, in your life where homeschooling can work and you are able to homeschool for a, you know, extended period of time, and then things may change, and then you know the child may need to go back into the school system. And so again, it is something that is very dynamic, right? It is something that is very dynamic.
Yeah, let me also say that, and to all listeners as well, I mean, don't allow yourself simply to be a victim of the circumstances around you, because at the end of the day, it's your child and you want the best for your child. And homeschooling, as Fiona said, is a decision. And once a decision is taken, you must also be willing to negotiate with those around you, negotiate with your employers, negotiate with your family members. All right. Don't just allow, okay, well, the circumstance is this, therefore I cannot homeschool. But once the decision is taken, you know, be brave, you know, be courageous, because it takes courage as well, because it's against the norm that we have been accustomed to in Trinidad and Tobago. And therefore, persons would, you know, may have challenges and may challenge us, right? But it's not only for, again, for your benefit, but also for the benefit of the country. And therefore, don't be afraid to negotiate, and don't just be a victim of the circumstances around.
All right, very, very, very interesting. Now, a lot of people are messaging here. They said, this all sounds very, you know, well, it sounds expensive. You know, even if I want to, I cannot afford to homeschool my child. You know, I mean, of course, sacrifices have to be made if you want, you know, for what you want for your children. But is it something that the average, you know, average income earning parent or parent, I notice you use the word parents. That means that, you know, the two parents have to be involved there, mommy and daddy, because support is needed there. But is this something that the average income parent could get into? How expensive is homeschooling? How affordable is homeschooling?
Yeah, homeschooling can be as affordable as you would like it to be, right? So if, for instance, you have a child that is in school, and people have children in different types of education settings. So if you have a child that is in regular public school, you know, you have to buy books to last them for the year. You have to buy uniforms, sneakers. You may have to pay transport, right? So if you do, you know, if you do the math for those costs, that could be transferred to homeschooling, because the money that you used to buy books, you can use to buy, if you're using the local curriculum, it would be the same books you're using, right? So in terms of that, it may be cheaper.
But can you photocopy? You could, since you're home, you could probably forget books, photocopy. You'd rather buy the actual books. That may be a little cheaper than getting the actual books.
Right. Well,
you may not want to advocate for that, but I'm just
saying. That's correct. Copyright. We wouldn't want to advocate for that. But I mean, you also have homeschooling resources that are online, that are, you know, there's some that are fairly inexpensive, and then there's some that are free, right? So there are resources like Khan Academy that, you know, for younger children, they have math videos and exercise, you know, worksheets and stuff, and they are free resource that parents who homeschool and don't homeschool can access, right?
Yeah. And in addition to that, in our training, I would have mentioned to those parents that there are sites that offer free assessments and, you know, so like you have things from, you know, different stages of the curriculum and so on at different age levels and so on, you can get it free. All right. So you mix and match, you know, as Fiona was saying, you know, you don't have just one whole curriculum that you would purchase. Yeah. You mix and match. And there are some persons who use our local curriculum and they pull it off the Ministry of Education website and they mix and match textbooks and so on. Mm-hmm. The good thing about homeschooling is that you can, like, for example, maths is universal, right? Mm-hmm. Maths in Trinidad and Tobago is not different from maths in another country. It might have a different approach, or the examining body such as CSEC in the Caribbean might have a particular angle that they come at, but it's the same mathematics. So maths is universal. English language is universal in terms of, you know, the core components, science and so on. So really and truly, you can get free resources for all of these things, right? Some people prefer the convenience, so they buy a single curriculum that will cover all of the areas. But we have many parents who take from resources from a number of different curricula and so on. But not only that, we have a number of parents who have homeschooled already and their children are past that age, their children are now to universities and so on. And they have all of these resources available. So time and again, we meet together and people actually give away books. Mm-hmm. Right, they give away all of their books, or they, you know, they sell at very cheap price, and so on. So, you know, once the decision is made, you know, there are ways to mix and match and get around it.
Okay, somebody messaged here. I may have missed it, but homeschooling is a viable and important alternative for children with ADHD, that's attention deficit disorder, right? Especially since these children are so misunderstood in schools. In fact, ADHD is a topic that you would appreciate, is a topic of discussion on the program, right? So we will probably get that a topic of discussion. But, you know, homeschooling, some people may say, okay, this child may not fit in a school environment, so it's best we homeschool. Some may want to put children in that category. But, of course, this may not be so. But children who may be a little bit, you know, unfocused, would homeschool be the best alternative for them?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. As part of our training, we do a session. We have a couple of parents who lead a session. One, she's finished her homeschooling journey now, and the other one is in the middle of it. And they both worked and work with their children who have special needs, right? Inclusive of ADHD. So we have ADHD, autism, things like dyslexia, you know, the challenges with reading, dysgraphia, challenges with writing. And so homeschooling and homeschooling environments can provide an opportunity for children who have different kinds of special needs. And we haven't even begun to talk about children who are gifted. That is also a special need, right? Because oftentimes if children are gifted, whether they're gifted in a specific area or they, you know, they're gifted in terms of how their brains function, if when they're in school systems and spaces that don't challenge them, they also become disruptive, right? And it's not because they're disruptive, it's because their needs are also not being met, because generally the system will work with children sort of like on an average, right? So those who have special needs in terms of challenges or special needs in terms of giftedness, they are not necessarily catered to. And so the homeschooling environment can provide a good opportunity where the needs of these children can be met, right? And so these parents have given tips, practical tips. Two parents who work with special needs children, you know, how do you get them to focus? But it also allows them an environment where when they need to move, they have the freedom to move without, you know, retribution or punishment by the teachers, or they're seen as being disruptive in the class, because this is part of who they are, right? And so even as they learn to manage themselves and to manage you know, their areas of special needs, their parents are able to get the assistance that they need to assist to help them. And so you find that many parents who homeschool and who homeschool special needs children, they begin to become experts in the area. And some of them even go on to do formal training, because associations like the Dyslexic Association and the Autistic Society, they also have support systems that we point parents to. And some of them have training that parents can do to assist them to be able to work with their children more effectively. And I remember the testimony of the same lady we were speaking about, Sean and Bernadette Francis. They have worked with their children, their boys in particular, and those young men have done it because of the work that their parents put into them to nurture them and to support them and to assist them in their growth and development. And they have all done quite well. They've all completed secondary school and they've all gone on to tertiary education. And so there's hope for parents who have special needs children. And if they are, you know, they are able to homeschool their children, they definitely can get support to do that and to see their children thrive and develop.
Yeah, and I recall as well, I was doing a research project on autism. And I had to interview someone involved in that, in the Autism Society, I believe it was. And that person was actually very interested in homeschooling because that person was saying, you know, children with autism, you know, they can't function necessarily in the system that we have here locally. So she was actually saying, listen, she wanted to recommend homeschooling for the parents who would have come to her, right? So it's something that people with special needs are definitely looking at. And I just want to emphasize as well, like Fiona was really saying, we haven't even spoken about gifted children. So we have people who would have challenges, they'll be developmentally delayed, they'll have some kind of disability or something of the other sort. And then you have on the positive side of special needs now, the other side where people are gifted, you know, and the function, you know, their brain functions are just that higher level, or the intensity of their brain is in a particular direction. And those children are very, you know, underwhelmed, you know, and they are not motivated by the normal work that we say that's given to them. Or workload that is given to them, and they need to do much more.
Yeah, school will be slow. I remember there was a story some years ago of a child. I think he was in going to like on the primary school level, but was able, so gifted, he was able to do CXE or something. The Ministry of Education did not want to give the mother permission for him to do CXE, but she knew her child was gifted. And she had also a fight with them, and the child actually did it. And I think he was about 12 years old or something.
Yeah.
Right? So, So, I mean, gifted children, definitely, you know, this is an alternative. So let's say you're doing, you're preparing your child for SCA, your homeschooling. And then, for secondary education, you still want to continue homeschool. But how do you register for SCA? When you're filling out the, I don't know if you still had to fill out the first choice, second choice, where you put homeschool, first choice, second choice, third choice. I don't know, how does that work? Or do you still put a school and then you explain to them, well, I want my child to be home? How does that work?
Right. If you're transitioning to homeschooling at the secondary level, well, you just don't do SCA.
You don't do SCA. Oh, okay.
You're homeschooling already.
Yeah.
You just continue transition. And some families would send their letter of intent to homeschool at the secondary school level to the ministry, letting them know that they will continue homeschooling their children.
Right.
But SEA is something, as I said, it's for parents who really want a space in a secondary school. So if you want to continue homeschooling, SEA is not something that you need to do. For parents who are doing SCAS, they would go into the ministry and they would register and they would fill out their choices and they'd be told when to come back to get, what documents to take in. And so they're taking those documents and registering before the exam. They would get their candidate's number, school center, and then they would go on the day and write SCA as a private candidate. And of course, the same thing with CSEC, because we know that CSEC, anybody can write CSEC, right? Adults go back and they do different subject areas. So CSEC is of the nature where you are able to do CSEC as a private candidate. It has been set up in that week.
And if you're going, some people, they don't write SCA and then they send their children to a private secondary school as well. Yeah. So they don't actually have to go back to home school, but they can go to a private secondary school and they don't actually have to write SCA either, right? What the law says is basically your child must be in a school or be educated. That could be a home school or it could be, you know, an institution.
All right.
But your child just simply cannot be not educated.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why we will reiterate that homeschooling is a serious decision, and it takes hard work and sacrifice on the part of the parent. It is not something that you do lightly, so you don't take your child out of school and just have them home doing nothing, right? Definitely. You have to ensure, because you are taking on the responsibility of educating your child, and you have to ensure that as much as you can, you give this child a quality education that allows them to be able to function in society after you are finished with them, right? Whether it is you want to transition them to secondary school, that they can do that, or after they get their CSEC passes and they're able to, you know, to go on to study or to work, and then their parents who, you know, they'd have their children write international exams because they want them to get scholarships to go abroad. And so we've had quite a few cases of that as well, where children would do SATs and other exams and they would go abroad to study.
Yeah, I just also want to mention that Fiona is an advisor to the Minister of Education.
Okay.
On homeschooling matters. That's important because the things that she's speaking about, some of the practical matters of homeschooling and how that ties into our current education system and policy development and so on, all of those things actually, that information feeds into that and so on. So I just wanted to mention, so she is an advisor to the Minister of Education on these matters, and she would sit on various committees. So she will also have a knowledge of the inner workings of the Ministry of Education and some of the, you know, the things that they grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
All right, and final question, one of the questions before we wrap it up here, which is a question that was on my mind. Somebody asked it, but who checks up on the children to ensure that they're getting enough education at home? Where's the accountability? Because you homeschooling your child, you could be feel that you're giving your child, you know, X amount of work and that is enough for you. Probably, you know, I'm not doing enough for you. Checking everything right, where things could be wrong. You want your child to pass, you want your child to do well. Where's the accountability in all of this? Is there checkups? Where's the accountability to make sure everything is, you know, above board and being done right?
All right. So currently, we are in discussions with the Ministry of Education to formulate a national policy on homeschooling matters. All right. So We have met in the past with the Chief Education Officer, Ministry of Education, and his team, and then we had an acting person, a she, so we met with her team, and so on. And we have been calling for a policy on homeschooling, which will spell out all the things that you are talking about in terms of accountability, right? So who does what, when, all right, and how it will be done exactly. So those things, we are currently speaking with the Ministry of Education on that. However, sometimes it's an arduous process because we might be in the middle of negotiations with the ministry and speaking with the ministry. A burning matter might come up in education and then this probably be put on the back burner. But one of our mandates is really to act as that kind of advocate for homeschooling in government halls. So we are actually doing that right now. What we have discussed with former CEOs, chief education officers, is that if someone wants to homeschool, he or she must send a letter of intent to homeschool to the Ministry of Education, specifically addressing the chief education officer, right? So that person will usually send an email, right? And in addition to that, you would also lodge a copy, like if you're taking your child out of a school, if you're already homeschooling, already in the school system, you would send a copy to the principal as well as, you know, the local or the Ministry of Education office that is in your, you know, district, right? So that everybody is informed. Now, this is really a letter of intent to homeschool. The way the Constitution is framed, you do not have to get permission from the Ministry of Education to homeschool, right? But we are telling people to do the responsible thing and actually inform the Ministry of Education so that they will know. What happens at that point in terms of who monitors these parents, this is really a government function. That is not the function of an NGO. So therefore, we are actively pursuing the Ministry of Education to actually formulate this policy. And therefore, in that policy will be spelled out the accountability measures. We have already sent, we have done our research, you know, a lot of research from different policies around the world. We have engaged with an international consultant as well in relation to homeschooling. And we have actually sent a paper that would inform the development of such a policy. And the ministry have asked us for that many times, and we have sent it over and over to them. So they have that information, right? So a lot now is in the court, so to speak, or the ball is in the court of the Ministry of Education, right, to continue to move ahead with the formulation of this policy.
Okay, great, guys. Thank you very much. Well, I mean, there was one person I was expecting to call. Her name is Sunshine. She's an educator, but she did not get in. But we did have a lot of good questions there as well. Anything you guys would like to say before you leave? Probably give out your numbers and email or the number of the association where people who are more interested in homeschooling could probably call. I'm getting some info.
Yeah, well, we have our website, right? homeschooltt.com, right? You just go to that website and you would find the relevant contact information for us. And you can also email us at homeschool.tt@gmail.com, right? That's homeschool, homeschool.tt@gmail.com, right? Or you can, as I said, go directly to our website. This will always be, this information will also be there. Or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 713-3689, right? 713-3689. And in addition to that, we also have a Facebook page, right? So you just look for the Homeschool Association of Trinidad and Tobago on Facebook, and you would see our page coming up. You can actually, if you are a homeschooler, you can apply to be part of the group, right? Or we also have a public Facebook page there as well.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. All right, and thank you for, you know, having this discussion and really educating us on homeschooling. All right, and good luck.
It has been our pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, so you were both listening to, you're listening to both of course, Rodney and Fiona Rajkumar on our topic, indeed, homeschooling.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.